Okay, the Senate Judiciary Committee is called to order. We have our full committee consisting of myself, Senator McGuire, Senator Coghill, Senator Machicki, Senator Costello, and Senator Wilikowski. We have three items on the agenda today. We are going to remove Senate Bill 41, however, and bring it up possibly Wednesday or Friday. There'll be a sponsor committee substitute coming forward on that. Senate Bill 41. Okay. And next, we're going to go, then we're going to move Senator Machicki's bill up in the lineup because he's got a conflict today with Senate Finance. So we'll bring up Senate Bill 5 related to restitution, property, and income loss. Senator Machicki.
Well, Madam Chair, I'm certainly hopeful that the committee is ready to move the bill on. Again, we just feel that loss of income should be included on the restitution side. This doesn't deal with the sentencing side of the law, simply the restitution. We don't believe in unjust enrichment, but we certainly feel that the actual damage should be considered and that the victim should be made as whole as possible, depending on the financial capacity of the perpetrator.
Okay, and so I set it aside for a period of time just to be sure members didn't have concerns or that there wasn't any other public testimony that came forward. I don't see anyone online. I don't see anyone here in the room for Senate Bill 5. So I'd be ready for a motion from Senator Coghill if there isn't any other committee member concern. Senator Wilikowski?
Yeah, my big concern is just if we're creating debtor prisons with this. If and I haven't heard anyone come forward and say this, but if someone, young adult, 18, 19-year-old, does something and causes huge amounts of loss, and then we've essentially created a debtor prison for them because they can't pay it, and then that's one of the things that the court will look at in determining whether or not they should be eligible for parole or they're violating their parole if they're not making payments. So that's my concern. I haven't heard anyone come forward and address that concern or express that concern. I asked the public defender about that. They didn't seem to express too much concern, so maybe it's just my own concern.
Yes, Senator Coghill.
There is actually in the Constitution a prohibition on that. Right. So the courts would run straight up into that. So then they would have to think of alternate ways to do that. And my guess is that'd be a payment system. But actually, structurally, they could not do that.
Senator Machicki?
Yeah, Senator Wilikowski, certainly not my interest to keep someone in. My goal would be to get them out and earning as quickly as possible and certainly to take a fair proportion of their earnings. Recidivism is not my idea of success. So the law does not allow that under this law. It just simply says that loss of income and an actual value of an item should be considered, again, not on the sentencing side but on the restitution side. So I would oppose any action going toward I even talked last time about essentially indentured servitude. I don't believe in that either. And my goal is to allow the perpetrator to be responsible. I hold their rights dear, but I hold the rights of the victim just a bit higher in this case. And I think in many cases, complete restitution is simply not going to be possible. But even for pennies on the dollar, it does recognize that loss of income is a part of the loss of the victim.
Anything further? Senator Coghill, I think, is looking up the Constitution.
I'll find you that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right, so that you have it.
I'm looking through all the notes here. If I'd had my regular little Constitution, I might have found it.
Well, and I think Senator Wilikowski made the point, it's a good one, that the bill uses shall quite often. But, of course, what we would hope is that there would be, before every judge, you know, some amount of discretion that they can use in terms of you brought up the case, Senator Wilikowski, of a young person making a mistake early in their life. I think the idea of debtor's prison, good to put on the record. That's not something that we allow in our state. But I think, Senator Machicki, you've made a very compelling point that there is a real value to these losses and that people face. And so it's an important policy to change and to recognize when these things happen, people suffer in immeasurable ways. So I'm comfortable moving it forward. Senator Wilkowski, is there any amendment you want to make?
No. Okay. And I'm glad we had this discussion.
I
support victims getting fully compensated.
Right.
And I just wanted to say that for the record, and I'm glad to hear that's not the intent, that we're not going to be hauling people back into jail if they're, you know, can't meet the $1 million payment that they have to make.
Right.
And I'm sure courts will look at that. And what the language says is that court shall take into account the following things. And so they'll take into account loss of income and the value of the property and then make an appropriate order based on those things.
Okay. So, Senator Coghill,
Madam Chair, I go ahead and move that we pass from the Senate Judiciary Senate Bill number 5, version H, without amendments and with no fiscal note.
Okay, is there any objection to that motion? Okay, hearing and seeing none, then Senate Bill 5 with individual recommendations has moved, and we'll go ahead and just sign the report. And while we're doing that, then, we will have Senate Bill 51, Stacey Seinberg and Carol Beecher both come forward. If you just put yourselves on the record again, and again, I held this over just to be sure we were comfortable with it. Senator Coghill, you were really the only one that offered much testimony on it. So I guess I look to you to see if your concerns have been satisfied or if there's any amendment you'd like to offer. And we've got a substitute here.
Right. And Madam Chair, what I understand, it wasn't based on any of the questions I asked, but so much drafting style. So maybe they can fill us in on that.
Okay. Could you go ahead and, well, let's have a motion for version W.
Okay, Madam Chair. I move that we take up for our working document CS for Senate Bill 51 Judiciary version W dated 3/2/15.
Okay, so is there any objection to that motion? Okay, hearing and seeing none, then we have W before us, and if you guys could just explain to us the changes in the committee substitute.
For the record, my name is Carol Beecher. I'm the director of the Child Support Services Division.
For the record, I'm Stacey Steinberg. I'm the Chief Assistant Attorney General at the Attorney General's Office, and I'm in charge of the Collections and Support Section.
Okay.
Madam Chair, we have the new working copy of the Senate Bill 51. If you'd like, I'd like to go over some of the changes that are in that committee substitute.
Yes.
I won't go line by line, but I reviewed the memo from Kate Glover, Legislative Counsel, that did do the drafting. I think just as an overview, it kind of takes care of two different issues. One, sometimes there were some legislative drafting style issues in the draft of the bill that Ms. Glover went through, and she made those corrections in the committee substitute. And there were also a few changes that needed to be done because we had the bill reviewed by the Federal Office of Child Support to make sure that a copy of our bill was in conformance with the Uniform Act, and they did identify a few small areas that needed just a few little tweaks to make sure it was in line with the actual Uniform Act.
Okay.
So if, I'll just go through this. I'll try to go fairly quickly.
If you could just give us the page number and the section as you go through, that would be helpful.
Okay. To start with, on the memo, Ms. Glover did this kind of some general sections to start with the definition sections, which is Section 1. Mm-hmm. And in the committee substitute, it's Sections 1 through 16. And what happened is that those in the original draft were all in one section, and because of legislative drafting styles, they're now into 16 different sections for the definitions. The other change is on of the original bill, it was page 6, line 12.
Okay.
And again, that was just to change, it read an agency under AS 252710, and version W reads an agency created under AS 252710, and that was consistent for drafting style. And then just going through her memorandum, it does on 2525205A, again, it just, it deletes a semicolon and it adds a comma. So again, this is just a drafting style. In section 27 of version W before you, it changes its from version A to the tribunals for just clarity and conforming with style. In section 32, the version W reads, shall determine by order, and comparing it to the previous version A, it read, by order shall determine, and that was changed for clarity provisions. Section 35 includes a grammatical change by adding a comma. Section 40 adds a grammatical change by adding a comma. 43 adds the word the following under.
On what line is that, section
43? Section 43, I'll have to flip to the actual bill.
Okay. Adds a the. Sometimes that's innocuous, sometimes that's a big deal. Don't know.
One moment.
Page 14. Just what line is that? Section 43, page 14.
Oops. Is it here?
Is it maybe in line 14? If requested by the responding tribunal instead of a responding tribunal, or it's line 20? Convert the amount. It doesn't look like anything significant, though, right? Line 21.
Hang on. So section 43.
Is that where we're at, section 43?
Line 21?
Yes, 20. Line 21.
Okay, and what did the replace?
It just added the.
Okay,
just following under.
Okay. Excellent. Okay.
So just added that word.
Okay, so keep us going here.
Okay. Hang on a second. I don't have them by the page and line number. So the next one is going to be section 47.
Okay.
Page 16.
Okay.
Line 12, where it says version W changed it to within 5 days of receipt. The original language was within 5 days of receipt. So it adds.
Okay. So these are grammatical.
Yeah, they're all. Most of all these are really more stylistic.
Okay, can you lead us to any place where there's a substantive change? I think that's really what we care about. If it's a drafting choice in grammar, we're okay. But concentrate on the areas where there could be a substantive change that we'd want to know about before we move the bill out, please. Where penalties changed, or
yeah.
A place of service of process has changed, or
most of them, all of them are stylistic.
Okay.
There were a few minor things, and I'm just trying to find them quickly. I can't find them quickly. Where we changed a few things from, we needed to change things from a writing to an actual record. And then we had a provision where a person had to testify, and we had to put in there it had to testify under penalty of perjury.
Okay, let's take up your fitties. Okay, just... back on the record, and we are on Senate Bill 51. Our intention is to move this bill out today, so we're just clarifying any substantive changes on the record. So please put yourself on the record and proceed.
Again, on the record, this is Stacey Steinberg. We went through to identify the more substantive changes as opposed to just more stylistic drafting changes. So the first one would be page 16, line 11. And this is where we, it was inserted in a record instead of in writing. It's in a record, which is specific language in the Uniform Act.
Okay.
And the next one would be page 19, line 27.
Okay, under penalty of perjury.
Yeah, and this is where it's added under penalty of perjury. I think before it just said just to testify under oath, and so this says specifically under penalty of perjury. And again, this is to match up with the exact language in the Uniform Act.
Okay.
And the third one is page 31. Starting on page 30, the foreign support agreement, that definition was had to be tweaked a little bit to match up with the actual uniform, the Uniform Law Commission definition. And so there was just some slight, slight kind of rearranging of the wording on that one.
Okay.
And then the other changes were more either grammar, adding commas and A, and then some of them were just to change the article headings.
Okay.
But they weren't substantive.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator Cogdell.
Just to ask a question. So we had our drafters get to work with it, and then you took that drafting to the federal authorities? Is that the way I understand it, or is it the other way around?
Through the chair, what happened is Department of Law did the first draft, and then we ran that by the Federal Office of Child Support, and they found a few of these little changes.
Okay.
And then, so we had those changes are incorporated, and then the other thing is it went to legislative drafting, and then that's where they picked up a lot of the legislative drafting styles differences, and so that incorporates both the changes that from the Federal Office of Child Support, making sure it matches up with the Uniform Act, and it incorporates the legislative drafting changes that was done by the Legislative Council.
Thank you for that. That helps my understanding
yep.
a little better.
Me too. Any further questions from members of the committee? Okay, anyone here that I'm overlooking? I don't think so. No one online for Senate Bill 51. So that brings it back before us.
One more comment, Mr.
Yes, Senator Coghill.
So, and this is to Bill who's bringing it to us. So with the concurrence of the federal government, redrafting to match our drafting style, this is still a take-it-or-leave-it bill, the way I understand it.
Through the chair, yes, that is correct, Senator Coghill.
So no matter what we do to this, we can't change the effective dates. We probably could on effective date, and that would be about our own latitude, if I understand correctly.
Through the chair, the effective date pursuant to the federal law would have need to be at the end of our legislative session, which for Alaska that would be July 1st.
Okay.
Okay.
Just to highlight the timing of the issue. And mm-hmm.
Well, and I found it interesting to know how many parents are living in foreign countries where we have these issues with jurisdiction. So thank you for what you guys do. And I hope this will be helpful
for
our kids. Yes, Senator Coco.
And I just wanted to reiterate, this does European foreign countries, but
yeah.
there is still no protection for those in the Pacific Rim area, so just for what it's worth.
Okay, I'd take a motion. Senator Coco.
Then, Madam Chair, I'll move that we move the CS for Senate Bill 51 Judiciary with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Okay, is there any objection to that motion? Hearing and seeing none, then we'll move version W, individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes out of our committee. And I just wanted to ask you guys for the confirmation hearing on Friday. You're able to ask any questions you want, of course. That's my style. But I would love it if you have some questions in advance that you'd be willing to submit to me that I could do in a question packet to make Mr. Attorney General Conferee prepared a little bit for where we're going to go in questioning. So if there was a way those could be to me by Wednesday, that would be excellent. Just a few questions so that he can feel prepared for his hearing. Okay? So with that, we're adjourned. Thank you.